Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning, it is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in, I do appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander alongside, to my left, to your right, the great Kelly Bidlon. Kelly Bidley, everybody. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, if I can get this computer to work, everything will be great.
Yeah, wonderful. Mine was worked a little while ago, too. Easels today, Gil.
Easels. I've often used this computer as an easel on the show many, many times. We'll see if that happens today. Coming up, Drew Densick will join us from both the Deep Dive and NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast. We will talk about NBA Emirates Cup night number three. Night number three of the NBA Emirates Cup. Tuesdays and Fridays till early December when we get to the semis. Well, mid-December, I should say, till we get to the semis and the finals of that, including an early season Super Bowl, if you will, between the 15-0 Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics, the defending champs.
I'm pumped. Big game tonight.
Has there ever been less made of a 15-0 basketball team?
I don't know. That's one of those, I guess I'm too close to the sun.
Hey, good expression.
You know,
or is it that the 2015 Warriors, who went 24-0, mean that they're only 5/8 of the way there? And so, okay.
I mean, it's definitely a little bit of that.
A little bit. We'll get into that with Drew. I also want to get into with Drew. I don't want to use the whole first segment talking about what I want to get into later. But Drew had these power rankings in the NFL last week that he gave out. And Lord knows mine are far from perfect. I'm going to have to juggle mine big time this week. But he had a very fascinating week five and top five. And I want to get into for newish handicappers. What's the point where one, how deep into a season or what you see on your television screen? What's the point where you say, oh, my power rankings are malarkey. And yep. I've got to move away from them.
They got to be adjusted at some point. I think it's, I keep thinking about the Niners because I think that was maybe the most surprising one he had right that far up. What's tough, though, also is you have your preseason thoughts. And then if you have a team that goes through like waves of injuries, right?
Well, that's part of the calculus also.
I think it becomes tough. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to talk to him about that.
We'll talk some NFL awards because Kelly is still losing his mind over the Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, the fact that the odds have moved so dramatically. Jay Kahn, how about some hockey talk?
Let's go.
How about some college football talk with Pete Futak, and then Will Hill will join us with all of his bets. All of that on the show. We begin with Monday Night Football last night, where the Houston Texans take down the Dallas Cowboys with a cosmetically inflated score, I would say, 34-10. On the one hand, it's cosmetically inflated. I'll get into my reason as to why I think it might not be. But 34-10... in a game that was a lot closer for a lot longer than you'd want it to be if you're the Houston Texans and you're looking to do big things in the postseason. First play of the game, by the way, Stroud to Collins for 77 yards to the house, except there was a legal man downfield. Laremy Tunsil like just decided to go 4 yards upfield for no reason.
Yeah, I liked that play. It was heavy on Texans, but I did some unders on Nico, so that was...
Oh, you like that. Yeah, it's the old ineligible pass is what the technical term is. So it is the 14th accepted penalty on Tunsil this year, by the way. But no matter, sixth play of the drive, mixing in from 45, and it was 7-0 Texans. And you thought, oh my God, they could win this by a million. But it didn't really happen that way. The Dallas tried. Dallas, after a lateral that was a fumble, got blown dead, and the Texans didn't even challenge. And Buck and Aikman were kind of ho-hum about it. Dallas tried a horribly telegraphed fake punt. That set up... set up Houston at the Dallas 37, 4th-and-3. Stroud was picked by Malik Hooker. And that's when it sort of went a little weird for the Texans at that point.
Yeah. Why was there no challenge on that ladder? I was screaming on my couch.
It was so odd.
I'm like, Aikman spotted it. You're like, they didn't make a big deal out of it, but Aikman brought it up. I was like, yeah, like, it's pretty obvious.
He brought it up. They didn't linger, and it should have been challenged.
How is someone not buzzing that from upstairs down to the coaches?
That's okay. They were like, we'll do a horrible fake punt. We'll get the ball back. But then Stroud throws the pick. Cooper Rush returns the favor, picked by Stingley Jr. with a miscommunication with Lamb. It got to 14-0 because Houston cashed that in with a 63-yard touchdown drive, mixing in from one. And then Dallas scored, rushed to Kevontae Turpin for 64, 14-7. And it would be 17-10 as they traded field goals later. And Dallas then in the late second quarter, they had a chance to cut the lead to 17-13. And just a symbol of everything that could go wrong for Dallas this year has. How about Brandon Aubrey slipping? His plant foot slips. And so he doinks a 40-yarder off the right upright. So it remained 17-10. It got to, go ahead.
This was after he had made the 64-yarder.
No, not yet. That's coming.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
So it's they get it to 20-10, Houston does. Then in the third quarter, what you're referring to is that Brandon Aubrey, then Mike McCarthy correctly rolls Brandon Aubrey out, just sort of like, hey, he slipped on that 40. Watch this. He makes a 64-yarder. But Derek Barnett of the Texans, and again, this is, again, anything that could possibly go wrong for Dallas, you make up new ways. So Derek Barnett called for a head slap, which was correct. He completely slapped somebody upside the head, I think is the technical official term for that. And then
First down, you take it every single time.
64-yard, I know it was 64. Sorry about this, Brandon Aubrey, but we're going to take the points off because it's the first down, and we're only down, two scores here, 20-10. So they take it off. They take the points off the board. They get it to 4th-and-2 at the Houston 8 after Caleb Bullock drops a sure pick, rush incomplete. Next time Dallas got the ball, 2nd-and-6 at their own 40, rush sacked by Barton. This was the play. This was the play that blew it open. Rush sacked by Barnett, the same Barnett that did the head slap. He fumbles. Tyler Guyton of the Cowboys recovers, hit by Jalen Petrie. He fumbles. Barnett recovers it 28 yards to pay dirt, 27-10 Houston. They end up winning it 34-10. Dallas has trailed by 20 or more in 6 straight games at AT&T after winning 16 in a row before that there.
It's amazing. Team's garbage. CeeDee Lamb is incredible, by the way. That's my one positive takeaway of Dallas. CeeDee Lamb, all season long, this goes back years now, but I don't care who the quarterback is, he's like the only weapon on the field. You know they're going to him, and he still comes up with 8 catches for 93 yards.
I prefer a little less obvious disappointment in his teammates, though, on the sideline, if I'm to be honest. Like, they cut to CeeDee Lamb every time. He's like, oh, I'm playing with a bunch of bums, is what his cartoon cloud says every time.
Yes, this team is done and dusted. We're going to talk fewest wins tomorrow because that market's back up.
Oh, I have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I know you do. So we're going to look at that. I think there are a couple of these teams that Cowboys are just, they're as bad as anybody right now.
They're as bad as anybody. And when I said at the beginning, let me just say this. I don't know that I learned anything new about either of these teams other than CJ Stroud definitely not as good as he was last year, right?
There's
a little bit of a step back, which, okay, he had a great rookie year. Maybe it's okay to think, or not outlandish to think, maybe he'll take a minor step. It's not like he's taking 2 steps back or anything. But I didn't think Houston, 34-10, it wasn't as big of a blowout as it suggested, because Houston obviously ran away with it at the end with that crazy play with the fumble and the return to the touchdown. On the other hand, we like to say Todd Wishnev came up with the acronym ITCH on the Megapod, interceptions that should have happened. Mm-hmm. And Cooper Rush should have thrown about 4 or 5 picks last night that the Texans just flat out dropped. So on the other hand, maybe it should have been 34-10.
Yeah, the one, the rookie safety, blanking on his name, you brought it up in the recap, though. That one, he could have taken that 6. I mean, it was in his hands. He jumped that route, and it could have been an 85-yard
Bullock.
That one could have been easy. I thought the one for me with Houston, because I was all over them a bunch of different ways last night, one that I was pulling my hair out about was just, okay, Mixon was running, so they were carving them up on the ground, and then it's like they would go away from the run. They kept going away from it. And Dallas is bad at stopping it. It's working when you go to it. Why are you forcing some of these throws, especially when Stroud, at times looked very off?
Houston does not feel like a Super Bowl team. Not that I'm saying I ever thought they were, right? I never had them projected going there, but if you just sort of feel them out. They don't feel like they're the upper tier.
I had those high hopes for them early in the season, before the season, thought they could take that step. I'm with you. I think that it's now they're at least in that second tier in the AFC.
25-1 to win it all. I am looking forward to that worst record, number one pick team coming up. We got to talk about that. We also have to talk about who might be the number one pick. The other big thing that happened last night was the Major League Baseball awards finally began. The ones that we care about: Rookie of the Year, American League and National League. And Kelly, I think they've all been listening to us, and I'm being legit here. We have joked now for a few years. Watch, you know, how the Major League Baseball, they telegraph the pass, right? They have the mother of the eventual winner as the award presenter. And so you're like, oh, I wonder who's going to win this. Bryce Harper's mom. I'm just sure she's going to give it to Juan Soto, right? So I think they kind of heard this. And yesterday, not only did they make, you know, did they take measures to prevent this, but the pendulum swung to the other side. So they picked Cal Ripken Jr., the great Hall of Famer of the Baltimore Orioles, to give out both the American League and National League Rookie of the Year awards. And so this immediately set our boy Jason off, because he's like, oh, this is awesome, because Colton Cowser plays for the Orioles on the AL side, so obviously it's going to be him.
Yeah.
And then Jackson Merrill was born in Baltimore, as it turns out. Grew up in Severna Park, Maryland. Was a Red Sox fan, though, not an O's fan. So it's like, oh, this is going to be the Cowser-Merrill parlay is in full effect. Nope. The fake out, baby. The whole okey-doke. It ends up being Luis Gil of the Yankees in a very close vote on the American League side, 106-101. By the way, Austin Wells wasn't even close at 17 points in third. So Luis Gil edges Colton Cowser. And then on the National League side, Paul Skenes, in what ends up not being that close of a vote, he got 23 first place votes. Jackson Merrill only got 7. Paul Skenes is your National League Rookie of the Year. Congratulations to everybody who had Skenes or had Gil. Skenes as long as 30-1 before the season. Luis Gil as long as 35-1 before the season. Congrats to all. Drew Dinsick on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you are yet to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, what you waiting on? Now's your chance to save big. With the early access to our Black Friday special, sign up today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $60. Sign up now. Get access to daily best bets, unlimited access to our exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa Sportsbooks, premium analysis and 24/7 video access, plus all our betting guides and best bets for the upcoming college football playoffs, Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss out. It's our best new subscriber offer of the year, if I do say so myself. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up on our Black Friday special now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game. This gentleman is kind enough to join us each and every Tuesday from wherever he is on planet Earth. We've had him on the top of ski slopes before.
In the woods.
In the woods.
Yep.
At his lair in the LBC. I don't know where he is today, but it's Drew Dinsick, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is the host of two podcasts, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor, Dinsick Classic, and of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge, which he does with Jay Croucher. How you doing, Drew, and where are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm up in Central California, the nation's breadbasket, if you will. We got some critical infrastructure projects up here, some high speed rail, some earth embankment dams for some water projects. There's a lot going on in California right now.
Oh man,
so,
that is some
happy to be involved.
That is some sexy radio right there. All of that. Do they call themselves the breadbasket of America by any chance, or is
of
that just
course,
your thing?
Of course, of course. Yeah, I mean, this is agriculture. You know, all as far as you can see, agriculture and Amazon warehouses.
Well, good for you. You still enjoy doing all that, right?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Okay. It's super fun.
I want to ask you, as I teased this in the first segment, and I hope you take this in the spirit that it's meant, because let me just raise my hand and say my power rankings need a rejiggering this week. I think things are getting clearer and I think really cleared up this week for me anyway. And I'm curious, because this is for like sort of new bettors, newish bettors, or folks who, you know, are just starting doing their own power rating sport by sport when they're handicapping. But you came on last week. You gave us your top five. And I think I want to focus on three and four specifically. And the, sure. And you, so let me just give what they were. Your one was Baltimore. Your two was Buffalo. Your three was San Francisco. Your four was Detroit. And your five was Kansas City. Specifically, right. San Francisco 3 and Detroit 4, which I found the most interesting. At what point in the season, this is, and you can answer this any which way, but because there's sure. a lot of ways to ask it, which is, at what point in the season do your pre-flop power rankings start to slough off? At what point does the eye test make you say to yourself, oh, my power rankings are bunk or need to be shifted dramatically? What about that, Drew, this past week? Detroit just absolutely crushes a horrible Jacksonville team. I get it. They're horrible, but they do it again. And then San Francisco is just so injury riddled. So what do you do, I guess, is the question.
Well, I mean, I'm painstakingly unit by unit accounting for player availability. So, you know, while I was fine going to war with the Niners as a top three team last week, and actually I bet against them last week, I had the Seahawks in that game, but that was just because I believed in the Seahawks kind of coming back healthier and being stronger. But the, I was fine going to war with my ratings last week, but, you know, that was with Nick Bosa. That was with, a fully healthy Brock Purdy. And now with, certainly with those two, particularly Nick in question for, you know, for week 12, are we up to week 12?
We are.
For week 12, I definitely have downgraded the pass rush for the Niners, because the Niners defense overall is just, it's a fragile system. They're relying on two players and there's a lot of, you know, kind of unimpressive play out there. Now I know Ward is coming back and he is an outstanding cornerback, but this is still Fred Warner and a bunch of guys. And assuming Nick Bosa doesn't go. And so this defense is more like middle of the pack than it is top 10 with that type of personnel available. Kind of broader question, broader scope. I will hand tune ratings for units based on player availability. And then at this point in the season, my preseason anchor for any team or any unit only makes up about 10% of my weight. So 90% of my weight is the data we've collected to this point in the year. And I'm only 10% anchored to my preseason number. For teams like the Cowboys or the Giants, I have 0% weighting to my preseason anchor because it's just a different team now. Jaguar is a good example. Like, it's just a different paradigm now. Like, the team's not trying to win. And so you can't necessarily treat them in the same, kind of mindset as you were coming up with a neutral rating for them in week zero. So, I will completely flip off any anchoring to a prior four teams when you lose a quarterback, fire a coach, just in general, your paradigm for your season changes.
Yeah. And I think the other thing you said in there, which is key again, and for advanced bettors, forgive me, but I think this needs to be reminded or at least sort of mentioned from time to time, which is your power rankings. It's an easy headline. It's an easy thing to latch on to in a soundbite. But you just said you had Seattle last week. So it is merely one guardrail in a whole puzzle of handicapping, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, Niners, I had again, and again, like, this has been a weird year because the cream of the crop, the top of my list, I don't have like especially outrageously high. The bottom of my list, I have like impressively low relative to kind of historical.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you have to have to capture anywhere close to market prices on like what we saw for the Panthers in like the, you know, week 4 to week 8 range, you know? I mean, the Panthers with Bryce Young coming back, that was probably one of the kind of market lowest numbers on any team all season.
Who's your 32 right now, by the way, if I might ask?
It's Carolina, but they are a hair over Dallas. It's not that that is going to become an interesting, kind of we're going to learn because those two teams play each other in a couple weeks. Looking at Dallas's 10.5 point dogs to Washington right now, I'm squarely on that number. Like, I fully agree with that. And if Dallas and Carolina played on a neutral right now, I'd pretty much have it as a pick considering all the injuries to their offensive line last night and the likelihood that we just see CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons take the rest of the season off at some point is on my radar. So Dallas has scope to move to 32, but right now it's Carolina.
We're going to talk about worst team in the NFL, that market, tomorrow, but it's a tough one because you mentioned Dallas is playing Carolina. Well, I think Jacksonville and Tennessee play each other twice still, if I'm not mistaken. So like, there's a lot of opportunity in quotes, right? Bizarro opportunity to become the worst team.
The Giants decided to start Tommy DeVito. So are they trying to win?
And where does, last question on this, where does that Carolina, so whoever's 32 at any given point with Carolina right now by a hair, historically speaking, is that, you said it's pretty bad, or is it the fact that it's just a chunk of teams that is the historical anomaly?
Yeah, the low was especially low for Carolina. I think I had them close to 10 points below an average on a neutral in the Bryce Young return game. Right now I'm at 8, which is still like very, very low. But my highs are not that high. And I think in general, you know, the 1 through 5 shuffling, you can kind of argue whatever order you want. There's only about a point difference between those teams if they're fully healthy, in my opinion. Great for Detroit. I'm very, very glad that they're having this breakout and that they're making things look easy against teams that have quit. But everybody now kind of moving the goalposts on them to where this is now Detroit's Super Bowl or bust season. Like, that has me inclined to try to sell Detroit every which way possible. Like, it's not that there's something specific about what they're doing that I think is unsustainable. But if there's this idea now that Detroit has just run away with the NFC, I think that's ridiculous. I think there's still very clearly scope for Minnesota to catch Detroit in the NFC North. Like, no one's catching the Bills in the AFC East. That's over. It's 99.9% that they're winning that division. Detroit's only 80%. To win the NFC North. So there, and Minnesota has a game in hand against them, which if they win, basically completely flips the math in that division. And so, you know, Vikings at +4, anything to me is value. And I think in general, the potential for a little bit of chaos at the top of the NFC is real. And I've been shopping Vikings NFC North prices recently. I've been shopping Philly NFC overall prices, because Philly could very clearly steal the one seed. And all of a sudden, if you are so sure Detroit's winning the NFC and you have all of your eggs in that basket, and then all of a sudden NFC championship game is outdoors at the Link, in whipping winds, and Jared Goff is out there and in rain and wind in January, you're feeling good about having, some absurd price on Detroit. I don't think so. I think realistically there is still plenty of scope for things to get shuffled in the NFC. I'm losing hope that the Niners are going to be a factor. They're walking a very fine margin where another loss, particularly against an NFC West competitor, effectively eliminates them, because their wild card chances are pretty low right now. It's going to be a fun shakeout surely, but right now I think the Eagles and the Vikings have the most upside, and the Lions look like to sell high.
All right, Vikings, when Drew said Vikings +4, would have been, of course, is 4-1 or longer in the NFC North. We'll come back. Drew's Week 12 bets that he made. We'll talk about any awards that he is interested in, NFL or NBA. Gives us a chance to transition to the NBA and what he's got in the old Emirates NBA Cup tonight, including that Cavaliers-Celtics matchup. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, man, I'm on this VSiN Watch app every day now. Every day, multiple times a day. VSiN Watch app makes it easy to watch and listen to VSiN anywhere, in case you didn't hear, on your phone or tablet. And for a limited time only, you can watch it for free. Visit the Apple app or Google Play Store now to download the VSiN Watch app. Look at that, very sleek. 24/7 access to our live audio and video stream. Watch replays of your favorite VSiN shows. Easily stream video to your smart TV. Browse clips by sport. Or maybe use the search feature to find specific VSiN expert insights you're interested in. You like Zach Cohen? You're like, give me some Zach. You can do it that way as well. Nothing? Give me some Zach?
Yeah, give me some Zach.
The VSiN Watch app, free to download for both Apple and Android users. Check it out.
We shot a great promo for it, too. Saw that on Instagram the other day.
Oh, did it make it?
Me and you made the gram, bro. We made the gram.
No, I forgot when we did it. And I was like, is this going to work?
It ends a little abruptly.
Did you overact? Oh, you weren't in it, though.
Yeah, I was.
Oh, you were.
It was me and you sitting in chat.
Oh, that's right. No, we were good. You did overact on this one.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
The excess nodding, not a part of it. VSiN Watch app. Not only check it out, download it, because it is worth your time. Especially the biggest app, the biggest application of the app, if you will, for me, the biggest app of the app is segments that you missed and you're like, oh, I want to hear what that guy said. Well, mm-hmm. Who did he pick? Who did Dr. Bob have again? That kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Drew Denson, kind enough to hang with us for a second segment. courtesy of the Progressive guest line again at @whale_capper, Deep Dive, and Bet the Edge podcast. So what did you land on week 12 then in the NFL, Drew?
It's a pretty gross week. I don't need to tell you this.
It's pretty
gross. The
matchups
are not that interesting. You got a lot of, big old numbers on the board. I got to bed with some teams that doesn't feel great. I'll be honest. In fact, it's not to say there's no good games. Like Niners Green Bay is basically our first playoff game of the season.
That's right.
Pretty much an elimination game, at least from the wild card for one of those two teams. I mean, Green Bay, I guess, is not technically because they have stockpiled some wins, but they have a pretty fragile path at this point. Philly Rams is a great one. Baltimore Chargers, the Harbaugh is a great one. But again, like these are pretty close and correct lines where the home team has a hair of value. But do you feel like taking a +3 to take, a plus money line there? And I'm probably end up going to pass on a lot of those. And right now, the only two bets that I've made on sides are Cleveland on Thursday. My fare on this one is only Pittsburgh -2. So the fact that you can capture the three there is pretty solid. I think in general, this looks like a gross weather game. If you know anything about Cleveland and weather in November, when the wind gets weird, it makes it very tough to have precision moonball offense, which is how the Steelers are getting it done right now. So I think ultimately this sets up for Cleveland to maybe not even just cover a big number, but get a win outright. I do like the spot also because Pittsburgh, of course, is coming off of a very physical game where no love is lost against the Ravens. And they were able to, of course, get a win without scoring a touchdown there. So congratulations to Tomlin and his voodoo. But I think Cleveland is set up pretty well here and going back to war with these clowns. The other kind of real misprice that I see on the board was the Colts. I don't think the Colts should be 7.5-point favorites at home to the Lions, kind of in the spirit of what we were talking about last segment. Like, yeah, the Lions are amazing, but this is not like a historic team that should be rated 7-8 points better than, an average on a neutral. And 7.5-point favorites on the road against the Colts basically says that, right? Like, I don't know anyone who's got a neutral rating for the Colts that's, anything other than average. This is a perfectly fine team right now. I don't see anything, obviously, with their injury report that says they should have been meaningfully downgraded after last week. I thought they beat the Jets more convincingly than the scoreboard said. And I think that in general, this should be a really competitive game. So the fact that you're capturing 7-3 is pretty awesome. And I'll take Colts +7.5.
The Browns and the Colts. Ah, that should be fun. That sounds like a fun experience. What could go wrong? All right, let's get to awards in the NFL and let's throw the NBA in there as well, because I want to transition to tonight's NBA game. So anything NFL award markets or NBA awards markets that you are in or are thinking about getting in, sir?
In the NFL, I think it's sell high Josh Allen MVP, buy low Lamar. This is probably the last kind of chance to get a price on Lamar. His numbers are just so far superior. It's tough for me to see that the Bills can sustain winning with how difficult their schedule is, to the tune of getting the one seed, which I think is what Josh Allen's path to MVP is, because of the difference and disparity in the numbers. And so I think Lamar ultimately is still going to be the MVP.
And Josh Allen, offense, by the way, the short shot now, +150, Lamar 2-1. I didn't see that little shift there.
Yeah, this smells like an opportunity, like last chance Lamar, I think. I think Oroy is shipped. I think D-Roy is shipped. That's Daniels in verse. There'd be some true shockers if either of those guys fumbles the bag at this point. DPOY, I'm against Watt, but I don't have a good candidate. I just believe someone will step up. Anyone waiting for anyone? I basically have provided liquidity to somebody who wanted Watt for a pretty decent stake, and so I basically just want anyone but TJ in that market. Coach of the Year is the most fun to talk about.
It's just a complete crapshoot at this point.
It's a crapshoot, and there are 10 good candidates. I think realistically, it's going to go to one of Dan Quinn, Kevin O'Connell, Dan Campbell, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Mike Tomlin. That's my short list.
Sounds like mine from last week. Yeah.
It's like named a quarter of the coaches in the league.
It'll go to one of the coaches who currently has a job.
That's right.
But it's a lot of fun to speculate there. I think that the current price on Kevin O'Connell is insane at 4-1 personally, because that's like shorter than their NFC North price. And I don't see a world where O'Connell wins Coach of the Year as a wild card if Dan Campbell holds on as your one seed, you know, your clear one seed winner of the NFC North. So the Campbell O'Connell prices are the two that don't make sense to me there.
Tomlin, by the way, for those just listening, Tomlin plus 225, the short shot, followed by Dan Campbell at plus 350, and then Kevin O'Connell at 4-1.
Just for personal reasons. If Mike Tomlin wins this year, I'm going to be pissed. I was very pro Tomlin last year. And if this is his year, it's going to irk me to the degree that I will never get over it. Dan Campbell as a plus 350 is kind of a good insurance of trying to sell the top on the Lions here, I think, because again, like he's going to be the story of the Lions if the, if that carries forward more so than Goff potentially putting his name in the MVP race, in my opinion. So that would kind of be the one that I would circle in that market, but it's a really, really fun race and wide open.
How about NBA? How about the NBA awards markets?
There's only one that is truly broken, and that's most improved player. And that's because it's already Franz Wagner and no one knows
I was holding this for you for tomorrow too. I actually have a NBA bet coming for most improved player, and it is not Franz Wagner, by the way.
Best
I got a Franz
you,
ticket from last
wrong.
Year. Drew's been campaigning for like 3 weeks for Franz already, man. We got several months to go, Drew.
It's going to be a long way.
What's your case for Franz Wagner, sir?
So I don't know if you follow EPM on dunks and threes. Great efficiency rating for just NBA player level stuff. Would it surprise you to know that Franz Wagner currently 12th in the NBA in efficiency so far this season, tucked neatly between Jalen Brunson and Anthony Davis. Really, the top 10 is all just kind of the superstars you would know and love, and Franz Wagner right up there. What's even more important, he was a very, very good player for the Magic last year, but had extremely poor three-point shooting luck, and that is now switched. He's shooting fine. He's getting his three up, over 1.2. Additional threes up per game, which is huge. His scoring is up about 4 or 5 points per game relative to last season, which is the type of improvement he needs.
3 points,
and maybe
three
most
points.
Important.
Let's not exaggerate that. 3 points.
No, it's trending. It's trending to if he can get to like 24 points per game, I think that's okay. The mark he needs to hit. But maybe most importantly of all, most improved in the NBA is a first-time All-Star award. And who deserves consideration for the All-Star team this year? Mr. Franz Wagner, because he is carrying the Magic to a top 3 seed in the East in the absence of Paolo Banchero. And I think he's going to be rewarded with an All-Star spot for that accomplishment.
Okay. We will debate that next week on the show. NBA Cup tonight. Any plays?
Yes.
Six games.
The Celtics. Give me the Celtics minus the 5. It's over for the Cavs. Great story. Fun times. I'm glad they've had fun to this point in the season, but this is a bad spot for them on top of the fact that the Celtics are easily 5 points better. So, give me the Celtics in this one.
Against the 15-0 Cavs. If the Cavs win this, though, are you going to be like, maybe we have something here we didn't really expect to?
No, I'm just going to say there's a lot of games left.
Sure. All right. Thank you, Drew. A lot of picks there. I like it. Thank you so much, man.
All right. Best of luck, guys.
Drew Dinsick from the center of California, the breadbasket of America, he called it. We'll come back. Our thoughts on awards next.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. Un partido de números. For those listening in Spanish. Coming up on the show, Pete Futek. Talk college football with us. Will Hill with all his plays. Jake Hahn standing by to talk some hockey. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. right here, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in, we appreciate it. We had tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate y'all for chiming in. Jason McKinney at TRH Golfer says, can't believe the Merrill snub. He's calling it a snub. People are angry. He says, but I'm still mad that you were talking Skeens up, Gil, when he was 3-1, and I was out of state and couldn't hedge. By the time I got back, it wasn't worth betting. The cooler is going to bet the commies this week, he's saying. Sorry.
I meant to ask you this last time when you were when we were talking about it earlier. Merrill, most other years would win or
oh,
no?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. And I do wonder also, like, you know how Strider didn't win it famously? I do wonder if the voters wanted part of the vote. I wonder if there was one or two voters. We'll never know the number if there were any at all. But if there were a few voters who were like, yeah, I probably got that wrong. Let's give it to a pitcher. It might have been that, too. Touchdown Jesus. Tearing a page from the Kelly College Football Guessing Lines book. I followed along with Drew and on Franz Wagner, big for most improved. In parentheses, he goes, psst, what team am I watching to see him play?
That would be the Orlando Magic.
T for three, after the legendary Soto Stroud Hamlin future flops, I am not apologizing for 30-1 on Skeens and a couple at 18-1. What a roller coaster. Good for you, man. Good for you.
Yeah.
On Paul Skeens, nice. Baby. Well done.
We've Matt Brown hit a couple. Yeah. Shocker. LSU.
LSU, yeah, shocker. By the way, I'm the dumbest of all because I watch the College World Series. I'm betting on the College World Series. I obviously am completely hip to Skeens and how big he was. And key cog, of course, in LSU's championship run. Did I ever bet Skeens? No, I didn't.
Yeah,
I just, for whatever reason, I never got involved.
Great betting conversation throughout the entire summer, though.
Well, yeah, but it got to the point with the Skeens Merrill thing. Remember, like, the last time Jason was on, I was like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Like, I kind of shut him down. I was like, we don't have to do this again.
Oh, yeah.
Because we talked about it a million times.
Hey, breaking news. The baseball season's way too long, and then they do the awards 2 months after it.
We said damn near Thanksgiving. Literally, the MVP will be a week before Thanksgiving. It's incredible.
That is crazy.
Let's talk some hockey, shall we?
Let's go.
With Jake Hahn, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at jhahn. That's J-H-A-H-N-4, the number 4, jhahn4, on Twitter. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jake, how you doing, man? You good?
Good to be here, boys. I will say baseball can go forever for me. I'm happy with the longest season possible. I know people call it too long of a season, but I love me some baseball. I'm already missing the MLB.
I do too. And I thought, like, betting monthlies this year, monthly best record, was just such a great betting advent by these books. And we did it every single month of the year. We won one, the Houston Astros, and I believe it was June. We came one out away from hitting a 65-1 in March, April. So it was really awesome. And I'm like you, Jake. I'm still one of these old school baseball fans. I love it. But waiting all this time for awards is a little mashugana. Like, it's kind of stupid.
No, I'm with you on this as well. And actually, NHL, we're going to get into some hockey here. They do it very similar, where it stretches out basically right to the draft. And you get to find out these guys that won regular season awards after you just watch 2 months of playoff hockey. And, you know, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. So I always say do it right after the regular season. Like, let's just get this done. We all know who we're voting for. Don't stretch it out, especially with betting markets now, guys. And you follow this very closely. We have a really good idea of where these awards are going to go. So to have them kind of sitting there for a couple of months, I think it's better just to get it done as quickly as possible.
Jake, by the way, I didn't give him his street cred. Jake, of course, the co-host of The Point, the fantasy hockey show on SiriusXM NHL. What about NHL awards? Anything that piques your interest currently?
Well, I think there's some very interesting markets, guys. And now we've watched, you know, about a month and a half of the season so far. So you can really start to form some opinions on some individuals, on some teams as well. I think the Rocket-Richard race for most goals is actually a very nice market to get into. Now, you can take your pick. There's a lot of different options on this board right now. But Austin Matthews in Toronto, he's the favorite coming into the year. He should be the favorite coming into every year while he's in his prime. He's missed the last 7 games. And still no timeline in terms of when he's going to return. So I'm not saying he's out of it. I mean, if he comes back next game, he could go on a run. But with him, you know, kind of taking a little bit of a back seat here, I think it does open things up to the board. We're seeing Alex Ovechkin, guys, turn back the clock. It's just been incredible.
Yes, we are.
five goals in his last two games. Unfortunately, he left last night's game in the third period, so there's some concern over a possible injury for him. I think most of the league crossing their fingers, hoping that this is nothing long-term for Ovi. So he's in the mix. I don't mind Matthews' teammate in William Nylander as well, a guy that you feel like is a threat to score most nights. You could still get some good numbers on him. And Sam Reinhart, who went over 50 goals in Florida last year, running it back again this season, proving last year wasn't a fluke. Those are a couple names I think to keep an eye on there.
The Ovechkin thing is fascinating to me. Obviously, I grew up on the Caps, but in the last 3 years, we've seen what we thought was the age curve, right? 50 goals, followed by 42 goals, then last year, 31 goals. And so again, a little sports talk radio here, the big record that, of course, is in sight is Wayne Gretzky's most goals ever. No one will ever catch Gretzky for most points ever, obviously. But when it comes to goals, you know, Ovechkin, the thinking coming into this season was, okay, because of this age curve, it's probably not going to be this year. It's probably going to be next year. Now, let's see if the injury is anything. But if it's not, you have a guy right now who leads the NHL in goals with 15 already in 17 games. Like you said, five in the last two. What do you make of that? By the way, the Caps playing really, really well on top of that.
Well, and I think your last point there, Gil, is the big reason for this. The Caps are playing well. The team is playing well. The team is taking pressure off of him. He doesn't have to play 20, 21 minutes every single night. He only has to play 15, 16, maybe 17 minutes, depending on game situations. And they're going to put him into those scoring areas, right? They're going to give him all the power play time he wants, first unit, second unit. That's been no difference throughout the course of his career. And he'll get those empty netter opportunities. I think he only has a couple of those this season. But he's going to be put in the scoring spots, and he's got some guys that are taking the pressure off of him, and the team is playing well. And I think emotionally too, that's just helping him, right? He's on a team that's winning, that's, you know, back at the top of the standings. As much as this guy's looked at sometimes as a selfish goal scorer, he's a team guy as well. He wants to win, and I think that this is getting us to see the classic Alex Ovechkin again, guys. So assuming there's no long-term injury here, I think he's going to do it this season. It was one of my bold predictions on our show to start the year that I thought he was going to put up a number to really chase Gretzky this season. So with the start that he's on, I mean, he's on a pace to blow past it at this point, guys. He's on like a 60-goal pace right now. So hopefully he's not injured. It didn't look great when he left the game, but it was a game that was kind of in hand for the Caps already. So maybe you look at it and say they were taking their precautions and just hope we get some good news today on Ovi.
Gretzky with 894 career goals. Ovechkin currently now with 868, 26 goals behind the great one in fewer games. But again, we're not making the case. There we go. Hey, wait, that was the Gretzky alarm. It was like, don't ever compare me to Ovechkin. I'm so much more of a hockey player. I know you are the great one, Wayne Gretzky. But 26 goals shy is Ovechkin of the record. And I just want to point out in the Maurice Rocket Richard award category right now, Leon Draisaitl, the short shot at 5-1. Austin Matthews is at DraftKings 6-1. Nikita Kucherov at 7-1. And then grade eight, Alex Ovechkin at 8-1 in that market
that
right
nuts.
Now. It's unbelievable. Can you just explain to the casual hockey fan, how has he made a career? Last thing on Ovechkin, how has he made a career just planting himself in that one spot, right to the left side of the goal, and like no one ever can figure out that he's there?
We have spent the better part of I've been working at the station doing these shows for probably about 10 years now, guys. We've probably spent the better part of that trying to figure exactly that out, like how teams haven't figured out exactly what he's trying to do, right? He plants himself in that spot, Gil, like you said, on the power play. If we got a heat map of all of his goals, you know, chasing Gretzky here, a large percentage of them would come from right there. So I mean, I think obviously having good teammates on the ice helps him as well. Backstrom for all those years, and you know, now we're seeing a bit of a new look Capitals team, you know, take the defenders away, take the penalty killers away, free up that space for Ovi. But his ability to find that space is just incredible, and teams have tried everything to try to stop that, and it never works.
It's amazing. Winnipeg Jets were 15-1. They've lost two hockey games in a row. Oh man, they stink. Are they the best team in hockey in your opinion, or no, is it somebody else?
I don't think they are. I think they had the best start, obviously, with that record. It was very impressive, and they were full marks for it. I mean, there was nothing fluky. If you watch those games, they were taking it to teams, taking it to good teams. I still think it's the Florida Panthers until proven otherwise, guys. They just waxed Winnipeg over the weekend. They get a rematch tonight back in Winnipeg. The Jets are actually a slight favorite now in this game. We have seen a little bit of line movement. I believe Florida was a slight favorite when I checked this line last night. So some money has come in on Winnipeg to sort of flip this thing and say, okay, they're going to get this one back on home ice. But I do still think the Florida Panthers are the best team top to bottom in the NHL, guys.
What did you land on today, either in that game or something else?
I'm going to go to the New York Rangers out in Vancouver here, guys. Even though it's 30 years later, it's still a Stanley Cup final rematch. So we're still going to look at it like that, even though it's all these years later. I'm going to go to the Rangers. It seems like they're cranking it up a little bit. And Vancouver's got some issues, you know, coach benching a star player in JT Miller. It just seems like things are a little bit off there, kind of playing win one, lose one hockey. So I like a more complete Rangers team in that game. And give me the Ottawa Senators on home ice. I would love a bit of a bigger price against a team like Edmonton, guys, but this is three road games in four nights for the Oilers. Not, you know, crazy in terms of travel, Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, but the Sens have been frisky. I'll call them frisky this year. So to get some plus money with them in what I think is a tricky schedule spot for Edmonton, I'll take that.
Jake, you are always a joy, man. Thank you so much for making the time.
Yeah, love joining you guys. Hopefully chat again soon.
Absolutely. Jake Hahn, everybody. Once again, JHahn4, the number 4 on Twitter for all of his stuff. Again, the co-host of The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on Sirius XM NHL. The Ovechkin story really is unbelievable.
Oh, it's crazy.
Just all of a sudden, like after last year, like, well, probably be next year, probably not this year. And then bang, hope he's not hurt too seriously. How about some college football? Pete Futak on the other side. What's the team that he feels, of the non-obvious ones at the very top, could make some noise in a college football playoff? His thoughts next.